My next guest is a musician who has created a style entirely her own. If I listed all the elements that go into Meryl Garbus's music, and I'm not going to, you'd think, whoa, no way this can work. But wait till you hear the sound she makes performing as Tune Yards, and you'll think differently. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Tune Yards.
Makes more sense when Jesus calls me.
That was Toon Yards performing Gangsta, and sitting with me now is the auteur, creator, lead singer, whole deal of Toon Yards, Meryl Garbus. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So in that song you sing, "What's a boy to do if he'll never be a gangster?" Who are you singing that about or to?
Let's see. Well, I wrote it in Oakland, California, and I was noticing the kids in the neighborhood where I was seemed to be forming a gang. And and they were kids who seemed to be sort of on the outside of things. And that was really interesting to me, this idea of how we need to have some kind of power or feel some kind of empowered feeling in our lives. And in order to get that, we try in different ways. And it was interesting to sort of see these kids, you know, this thing that we all deem so negative or so bad, you know, gangs are bad and they're violent and whatever, but they were using this as a way to protect themselves and a way to empower themselves. And it was, yeah, that was my...
And as a way to perform a role, to play a part?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, yeah. And how we have to posture in a way in order to feel empowered in our lives, I think. And especially at a young age, yeah. You know, adolescence, when you've got sort of no ground to stand on. At least that was my experience.
Is it especially adolescent, especially male, especially American?
Well, I say that what's a girl to do if she'll never be a Rasta?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I was very influenced by reggae singing, and that, you know, it's the song is also, you know, this yearning for something that will never be, and then how can we be ourselves and be empowered and confident in ourselves, just how we are.
You, when you were even younger than you are now, spent time in Africa, in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen and why?
College study abroad.
Really?
Yep.
So your parents made this happen, basically.
Oh, yeah. They made a lot happen. Thanks, Mom and Dad. They're out there.
But so you decided instead of Florence, you're going to go to Kenya?
Right? Yeah. My aunt and uncle had they're both in medicine, and so they'd spent a year in Kenya when I was about 10, and it was hugely influential on me because I was in suburban Connecticut, and all of a sudden there was this world, you know, very, very far away that I could imagine and communicate with. But that's what it was. I studied Swahili language for a couple of years before I went, and then it was, you know, I went to Smith College. So it was a, you know, 3.5 months of a program, and then a month and a half of feeling very, you know, losing myself living and traveling in Kenya and Tanzania.
And how long after that experience did you say, well, there's some musical things going on here, and I'm going to put that into this new form that I'll invent.
With looping pedals and yes. Ukulele. Not for a while. That was a good 10 years ago that I was there, and there I had a whole, speaking of reinventing oneself, I had a whole career as a puppeteer in there somewhere. So yeah, it took me a while.
Really?
Yep.
How did that work out, that puppeteering?
Not so well for me, but no, it was actually great. I think a lot of what I do now is very similar. I mean, look what I'm wearing.
So now you're the... And for those who can't see, she is wearing paint on her face. And
I've got these big...
multicolored crinoline shoulder pads.
Exactly, shoulder pads, which I can make talk. Hey, Meryl.
There you go. Wow, you are a puppeteer.
Yeah. I studied it.
Yeah. So now you're a puppeteer and your own puppet, essentially.
Yeah.
For the last 20, 25 years, white American musicians, from Paul Simon to Vampire Weekend to you, have found things they love in African music and adopted it, and sometimes get flack for that. Were you given any pause about, should I do this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I still pause.
Yeah?
Let's all pause.
But what's your what did you decide? It's all for the taking?
No, I don't. I mean, it is. I guess that's the truth of the matter. But I decided that I, you know, in this business of finding one's own voice and finding the truth of what my experience have brought me to, I have to make the music that I have to make. And all of these sounds really have resonated with me. I think a lot of what Western musicians find in African music, at least from my perspective, is different sounds, is these incredibly interesting sounds. And I think once you're captivated by those sounds, it's really hard to let them go. But it's really complicated. And I think, you know, as I've talked about in other interviews and things, I think I will find what my... what's the word for it? I need to find my way of making that okay, whatever that is. I need to find, you know, collaborations with African musicians or what we're doing here, discussing Western musicians taking African music and, right. and using it in their own. So, yeah, so it's still complicated.
How did you get from there to here, there being Smith College graduate puppeteer, to being this somebody in front of the scenes making music? I mean, that's not a necessarily natural progression.
No, I don't know. You were talking about reinventing, and I was like, I don't even know what happened. I know I had a puppet show, and all of a sudden, and then I had a ukulele, and then...
And speaking of ukuleles, yeah. which you have, I started noticing about 2 years ago when various the cool indie crowd musicians would come on this show, mm-hmm. and time after time after time, ukuleles.
Yeah. Well, did you roll your eyes?
No, I just wondered if somebody issued a memo or something yeah. at some time.
I don't know. I mean, it was...
I like ukuleles.
Well, good.
My mother played the ukulele.
Oh,
yes.
So did my mother. I think it goes through... I think it goes through these resurgences. And to really answer your question, my mom bought me this. Well, she bought a ukulele at an Army Navy store. I ended up with it. I was very depressed at about the age of 26. And I just started to write very sad songs on a ukulele. And that it just gave me such comfort to play this very simple instrument. And somehow that rolled into having a rock band with other guys in Montreal using a ukulele. And that
Canada.
Also, Canada. Ah. Yeah, it's in there.
It's all coming clear now.
Good for you, perhaps.
We have time for many more songs from you, and one right now,
super.
If you wouldn't mind playing. Business,
mm-hmm.
what's it about?
Business.
The audience knows. Perhaps the listeners don't.
There's a little bit of grappling with my new, you know, status of being able to be in the music business, mixed with general angst in my personal and social life, and the earthquake in Haiti. Does that make any sense?
Sure. Let's bring back your bandmates, who are Nate Brenner, Matthew Nelson, and Casey Knudsen, and hear Tune Yards.
Could work through. I said. lift up.
That is Business, performed by the wonderful and singular and very charming Tuneyards. Their new album is called Who Kill, and they will be back later in the show.